In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Athanasius the Great gives us this marvelous and profound instruction and sort of a great boldness. He says that God became man so that man might become God. Seems like a rather audacious claim. Last week we had the celebration of the role that icons play in our life, in the liturgical life, the life of the church. And really, it's very simple. The iconography that the church offers us is nothing less than a proclamation that God became man. So the first half of this statement from St. Athanasius is given to us last week. This week, the church sets before us St. Gregory Palamas, a great theologian in the 14th century. And he presents to us in the most profoundly concrete and practical ways the practices by which we participate with God's work in our lives so that we become God. It's the second half of St. Athanasius' instruction to us. God became man, the icons proclaim that to us. Man becomes God. St. Gregory explains to us how that becomes possible practically in our lives. St. Gregory, of course, is a great theologian, but he was a practitioner. First and foremost, he was a doer. He practiced the Christian life. He got pulled into the controversies and articulated in most profound ways, not only the defense of the practice of the church, but intertwined with the defense was, again, this practice of taking on that divine nature into our own lives. And so this morning, just a few words about the practical aspects of that. There's very much in his teachings and theology, but just a very simple aspect of our practice. How does this transformation take place? Well, one place to start is that there's a great emphasis in among Orthodox, of course, that we practice the ascetic life, fasting, prayer, reading scripture, keeping vigil, giving alms, or caring for the needy, acts of mercy. St. Gregory says this is very important, but he says those actions alone will never get the passions out of us, they won't ever really change or clean up our inner life alone, because it's like pulling weeds out of the garden. The top comes off, the root stays in. And so we can practice the ascetic life, and it's important that we do, he thinks, in keeping with the tradition of the church, but that alone won't get the roots out. It'll help us maybe look a little better on the outside, but it won't change the inside. How does the inside change? How is it, as it were, that we enter down into where those roots are? St. Gregory points to our Lord's words that it's out of the heart that comes all of these evil things. Out of the heart comes envies and strife and anger and slander. The things that divide us, Satan is the divider, and it's out of our own hearts that those divisive things come. And so his exhortation for us is to enter into our heart, first and foremost, because that's where the source of our real problem is. It's not external, it's internal. But then, of course, he wants us to enter into our heart because the kingdom of God is within us. And buried deep within our heart, intermingled with all of this passion and behavior that resides there as well. So we enter into our hearts both to fight the battle against the passions and to fight it with the God who already resides there but won't fight it alone, won't fight it without us. God always wants to cooperate with us, and us to cooperate with him, but not to do work on our behalf as if we weren't part of it. So this entering into our heart, the way that it's often put it, the way that he puts it, is that our nous, our mind or intellect, the sort of capacity that God has given human beings to experience him, to not reason about him or think about him or analyze him, conceive him, but to experience him in an almost way that's parallel to the way that we see things with our eyes. And so sometimes the nous is called the eyes of the heart, a capacity for unmediated interaction with Christ himself or with spiritual beings quite generally. So this nous needs to enter our heart. He's really commenting on a statement that comes from St. John of Sinai in his ladder in the step on stillness, about step 27 or thereabouts. St. John says that the one who practices stillness is able to keep the bodiless nous within the confines of the body. And this is what St. Gregory goes on and comments about at some length, because it's very interesting. If we just think of our mind, what we're thinking about, what our mental focus is shifting to, it's constantly being pulled outside of us. What so-and-so said about us, what we have to get done later today, meeting that we don't want to go to, conflicts, joys, aspirations. Wide variety of things we keep getting pulled out of our self, out of our inner life. And St. Gregory, in following St. John, wants us to, as it were, pull that mental focus, not so much an analytical thinking, but that mental vision, and place it back within, inside the confines of this body, and in particular within the heart. So this is the place in which we cooperate with God, when our mind is scattered outside of our body. It's often called in the Fathers the wandering nous, when the nous is wandering about the world, not pulled back inside of us, then we're not in a place where we're really in communion with God. We're not cooperating with him. We might be pulling out the weeds from the tops, but the roots remain there. So that transformation of our lives into the likeness of God can't take place because it's all external, primarily external. So now, this goal, this practice that he, this goal of entering into our heart, he gives us very concrete and simple practices, not very complicated, just a matter of making us do it. He says that we simply need to focus our attention on our heart when we pray. And of course, he especially has in mind praying the Jesus Prayer, but in any of our prayers, Lord's Prayer, praying the Psalms, praying in the liturgy, the hymns of the church, that we keep our focus on our heart as our mental focus. And he says that a very simple and easy way to do that is to actually focus on your breathing, on your inhaling and exhaling. It's very simple and concrete. And this is actually, in the text that I'm thinking about right now, he's actually responding to this criticism. People who are mocking the hesychast, those who are trying to practice this inner stillness, this descent into the heart, are being mocked for having these procedures where they focus on their breathing. But it's really just right out of the very last verse of the Psalms. We usually translate it, I think it's probably in the Hebrews, let everything that breathes, as you call it in Hebrew, everything that breathes praise the Lord, but in Greek it's very clear, it's let every breath praise the Lord. Possible meaning. Every breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so this simple focus of our attention in our prayers on our heart allows that mental vision, that mental focus, the nous, to sort of see what's there. To see Christ, to see the kingdom of God, to see the envy and the strife and the comparing ourselves with others. See the divisiveness that we feel, the anger that we feel. And then St. Gregory seems to think it's really quite simple after that, that our communion with God in our heart creates this kind of warmth that makes those passions dissolve. In the presence of that communion with Christ, the passions and the demons flee. We don't have to do a bunch of work. We have to continue our ascetic effort, fasting and praying and praying with our hands raised or doing prostrations and keeping vigil. We have to continue the employment of our entire being, body, soul, and spirit or nous, because we offer our entire being to God. But his focus is that we can't leave out. We can't simply offer the body and the soul, leaving out this place of communion with God. So if we want to, as it were, experience the one who became man, the God who became man, we're to experience him within our very own heart. And to experience him in this really most simple and practical way. Maybe it seems so simple that we don't want to engage in that practice. We'll say one other thing from St. Gregory, then one practical item. I'll invert those. First, the practical item. That we can pray all of the time. We should pray when we're driving to work or going for a walk or washing the dishes. We can pray all the time. And this is useful, and we can, while we're praying, we can keep our attention focused on our heart, experience of what it is that we find there. But it's very helpful that when we're driving the car, we're also happy to notice if the light's turning red, or if a bicycle is going to run out and go out in front of us, or if we're making chili, how many scoops of chili powder we put in the chili, or whatever it is. We have other things to think about when we're praying to God in the course of our life. You can carry on a conversation with another person. It's nice if we're also listening to them while we're praying. So it's very beneficial if we actually take a little bit of time every day. It doesn't have to be a large share. It's wonderful if it's large or even a small amount of time several times a day, but at least a little bit of time every day where we do nothing but pray. In this intentional way of trying to enter our heart, with the Jesus prayer, with other prayers, it's fine. And then anything that comes to mind that might normally be okay, what should I put on the grocery list, or what this meeting is going to be like with so-and-so later in the day, anything that comes to mind doesn't belong there. At this special moment, everything is a distraction except for your communion with God. It's very helpful to have this special time in which it's not simply prayer in the course of life, but prayer that is nothing but prayer. Then it's very clear to us what the distractions are. We don't have to become discouraged, because when we put ourselves in the refiner's fire, that's what God is, the refiner's fire, that draws comes to the surface. So we notice all kinds of things in our heart that we wish weren't there. They're coming to the surface. But that's exactly how they get, as it were, burned up. They get given up and offered over to God. So that's the additional practical thing with St. Gregory, that we don't just pray in the course of life, but that we take some time and set it aside to do nothing but prayer in this very intentional and internal way. And then one final thing that St. Gregory emphasizes, focusing on words from St. John Chrysostom and St. Macarius, that when we cultivate this inner experience in this transformation of ourselves into the likeness of God, into the sons and daughters, the children of God, who really so fully partake of the divine nature that those divine characteristics become true of us, not by nature, but by grace, not from all eternity, but by our cooperation with God's work in our life, St. Gregory emphasizes with these other saints that we start noticing that everybody's in our heart. All of the angels are in our heart. turns out that many of our enemies are in our heart. The whole world, the birds that are singing there, the whole world is contained in this, St. Maximus calls it the workshop, this inner workshop. Some of the fathers call the human heart a macrocosm, not a microcosm, but a macrocosm, because contained within this heart is the entire universe, like the Mother of God, who's more spacious than the heavens. And so this inward journey, as Father Roman would encourage us to do, to explore the inner universe, is really all that, it's his way of saying what St. Gregory is trying to call us to do, is to enter, to descend, to live in that realm in which all of the universe is opened up to us in its true spiritual significance, where we see it for what it really is, and not just for what it looks like to us with our senses. Our spiritual eyes become open not just to the presence of Christ in our life, but the profound spiritual nature of the entire created realm. So this is St. Gregory's gift to us. It's our quality as human beings, as Christians, as Orthodox, but as human beings, this is what we were created for. So by the prayers of St. Gregory, may the Lord grant us this prosperous inward journey into the very most deep regions of our heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.